Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. Today we'll start by talking about Serpent OS. And if you don't know what that is, I wouldn't blame you. It's been a while since this thing has been announced or even talked about, but it's a new Linux distro built by the person who created Solus back in the day. And so Serpent OS now has a first version. It's what they call a pre-alpha, so do not daily drive it, do not expect it to run well for now. It's gonna be buggy and it's gonna lack features. But it's an interesting distro. It's built from scratch, so not based on something already existing. It has its own package manager called MOS, written in Rust, and it's a hybrid concept between the classic distro built with packages with traditional package management, like apt or DNF, and a crossover with the more recent image-based systems. Basically, they're trying to give you the advantages of an image-based or immutable distro without the drawbacks. So they focus on trying to make the install itself and the system very resilient and to avoid it breaking when updates go wrong. So they give you the ability, for example, to do offline rollbacks for any transaction that you make through the package manager. So any package install, uninstall, or update. The distro comes with GNOME as its desktop, but they say they want to let people install Cosmic as well once it's released, and I would be surprised if they didn't offer like other desktop environments when they have time to package them and add them to their repos. I think it's an interesting project. It's definitely not ready right now, and when I read about it, I first thought, oh great, yet another Linux distro that is trying to do the same thing. But it looks like something different. It is a middle of the road between image-based systems, immutable distros, and regular normal distributions, like what you would see in Ubuntu or Fedora, or like what we think of as the traditional distro model. And I think it's cool, because it gives you some really nice reliability and stability advantages without having the potential drawbacks of an image-based system, which will be limiting for some use cases. Now, it looks like most computers are currently relatively vulnerable. A new report showed that 40% of environments that are deployed in companies are currently vulnerable to complete takeover through privilege escalation attacks. A company called Picus Security simulated a lot of different attacks on Windows, on Linux, and on macOS for the purposes of their study. And out of these attacks, only 56% were logged by the system firewalls, as in, we noticed something happened, and just 12% of attacks triggered an alert, meaning that most of these attacks went through undetected. And interestingly, Linux fared better than other options in terms of keeping out these attacks. Linux blocked 65% of these, where Windows managed to repel 62%, and macOS only stopped 23% of them. That's not because macOS is inherently less secure than other operating systems, it's because generally companies don't invest any time or resources to harden macOS and to secure it, and as such, while the default state might be a bit better than on other systems, since virtually no one takes any steps to make it even better, then it ends up being more vulnerable than Windows or Linux, where sysadmins tend to increase the security through various means. So the report is based on 136 million simulated attacks, which feels pretty exhaustive. And it's interesting to see that macOS fares so badly. I would have expected it to fare better than Windows, at least. But I guess since macOS is likely never deployed on servers, I don't even think they have a server product anymore, maybe IT departments tend to not really care or think about these macOS systems. Maybe the security offerings are not as prevalent as what you could deploy on Linux or Windows. But in the end, the result is macOS systems generally are the ones that attackers will want to target because they are badly secured. And after Delta Airlines started preparing for a lawsuit against CrowdStrike, it looks like the company is going to get sued by its own investors and shareholders now. The shareholders of CrowdStrike proposed a class action in Texas against the company. They allege that CrowdStrike made false and misleading assurances about its technology, and this resulted in a 30% drop in share price over 12 days, for a total $25 billion loss in valuation. Like, the company did not lose $25 billion. It's just valued at $25 billion less than it was before the problem. To prop up that lawsuit, shareholders apparently referred to a statement made in March by the company CEO saying that their software was tested, validated, and certified. Of course, the company said that there is no merit to that lawsuit, which, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but it feels like there is merit because they did ship an insufficiently tested update to their customers. They can't expect people to just not take offense to that and try to recoup their losses. But also, today I learned that shareholders apparently often sue the company that they invested in if this company's valuation drops a lot. So basically what they're doing is gambling, because they're buying shares of companies and they're hoping that these shares will go up in price so they can sell them for more money than they bought them. So it's gambling. And when they lose, they start lawsuits. It's like someone going at the casino, playing at the blackjack table, and then suing the casino when they lose money. It's kind of weird, and apparently that's normal, and it's okay, but I don't understand the stock market at all, so I guess it just surprised me. Probably shouldn't be surprised by that. Anyway, this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!